Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. My thoughts and prayers this morning are with the people of Texas as they continue to endure the rains and flooding in the aftermath of Hurricane Harvey. My family used to live in Houston. I only spent one summer there, but there were plenty of floods when there would be a big downpour, and this is much worse than any of that. Those people have so many needs, including their spiritual needs. And the spiritual needs of the citizens being rained on in Texas are not so different from the spiritual needs of the people who first heard our words of scripture this morning. For instance, the exiles to whom Isaiah spoke needed words of comfort. The disciples to whom Jesus spoke needed to hear the words of identity that he gave them. And the Romans to whom Paul wrote needed words of encouragement, comfort, identity, and encouragement. And the words above all that they heard were rock and living. Isaiah reminds the exiles that they were hewn from rock, dug from a quarry, the quarry that is God. The Israelites in exile have God's strength, God's toughness. In many ways, they were chosen, like Abraham and Sarah were chosen by God. And as the Israelites well knew, Abraham and Sarah left what they knew to follow God. As the exiles in Isaiah's time were encouraged to follow God also. Abraham and Sarah didn't know where they were going, only that God had chosen them to be blessed. God had promised good for them, and God made good on that promise, even though it took a long time. Rocks are okay with things taking a long time. It takes a long time by human measure to make a rock, like this bit of sandstone, or this crystal, or this rock that I plucked from my yard this morning. Rocks are compressed over millions of years. As chosen rocks, rocks chosen to be hewn, to be cut out of all the rock in a large quarry, the exiles were finding out that God has something wonderful in mind for them, something particular in mind for them. By chapter 16 in Matthew's gospel, Jesus has taught a lot. He has done wonderful, miraculous, and compassionate things. He asks those closest to him what his identity is, according to the world around them. And they give various answers as to what the neighbors think. But then he asks a more pointed question, "Who do you say that I am?" This time only Simon answers, but Simon answers on behalf of all of them. And in many ways, he answers on behalf of us, too. Simon says to Jesus, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Simon named Jesus as the promised, chosen one of God, the one who is the living representative of the living God. And Jesus congratulates Simon for correctly answering that question of Jesus' identity. He tells Simon that God in heaven had revealed to Simon that Jesus was the Son of the living God. And then Jesus gives Simon a new identity. Peter. Petros, Greek for rock. Kind of like the nickname of that famous fictional boxer from South Philadelphia, Rocky. Jesus calls Simon Rocky, Peter. And Jesus adds, "On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it." Jesus will build his church on a rock like Simon Peter, who was sometimes rock-headed, who sometimes crumbled like this rock from my yard. God will use the strong rocks and the sand, the crystal and the sandstone for the church of Christ. Sometimes we will build up. Sometimes we will help to erode away what God desires to see less of. As sand causes the great rocks on the shore to wear away into more sand. Now, sand is much easier than rock to walk on, but not so good to build on. Both kinds of rock are useful to God's needs, the sand and the rock. Our identity, like the identity of the exiles, is as rock hewn from God's quarry for God's purpose. Simon Peter identified Jesus as the Son of the living God. That was a bold claim to say that God lives. That God is not just God of the dead, but also God of the living. God, who was alive to Abraham and Sarah, continues alive in Jesus. And as we find out at the end of the Gospels, Jesus continues alive after his death. It is part of the foundation of our Christian faith that God raised Jesus from the dead. We don't know how or why. All we know that it is part of God's identity and our identity. We know that our God desires life, and at no time more than in the face of death. I'm going to repeat that. Our God desires life, even in the face of death. That is why Paul told the Romans, "Present your bodies as a living sacrifice." We are to live as the chosen ones of God, chosen for a particular purpose and to live sacrificially if need be. Fortunately, Paul gives some details on what it would look like to live as God's chosen ones. Paul urges, if we have the gift of ministering to others, we should do that. If we have the gift of generosity, we should give generously. If we have the gift of teaching, then teach. If we are a leader, we should lead and do it diligently. Don't give up partway through. If we have the gift of compassion, we should be cheerful among those who need our understanding. Paul encourages the Roman Christians and us to live out our faith in God and God's Son, Jesus. Paul describes the church, the community of believers, as a body. We who are many are one body in Christ. We live together, relying on each other, like our spine relies on our bottom, and our heel relies on our little toes to provide the rest of the balance. We, together, are the church, living out the grace and word of God. Sometimes we will do so strongly, like a great rock. Sometimes we will live out the grace and word of God like the persistent sand pounding the shore every few minutes, or more frequently, as when a great hurricane tosses the surf and the sand against everything in its path. Sometimes we may even be pounded. That happens in life. And when we are pounded, we need the graces and strengths of all of us together to know and to do the will of God, the living God. We come here to hear God's word, that God, who lives, chooses us. In spite of what we lack, God chooses us and uses us. Living rocks, pointing to the grace of the one who lives and loves. Amen.